Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. I don't know if you saw that quote, Ray, from Evander Kane calling Ryan Reeves the Muffin Man. What do you make of that?
Pretty ballsy. You know, like Kane can fight, right? He's long trained in as a boxer. He's his dad was a boxing guy, and as a kid all through Bantam and Junior, and as he got into be a young pro, he's always been kind of interested in this stuff. But you're fighting a boy that's a big boy, man. Ryan Reeves he's a scary guy, and I thought he did really well, and I also thought he kind of stuck his chin out for Thornton thereafter as well. And Reeves is kind of gets to, because of his strength and his size and the way he plays, he kind of nods around, right? Like, he can do whatever he wants. Who's going to do anything to him? There's nobody left, not like at that size. And so I think Kane's saying enough, basically. You can't say that about Thornton. And I kind of liked it, but yeah, I'd be looking over my shoulder just all the same.
Ray, you love chirping. Aren't those comments going, like, it's a little bit much, isn't it? Or is that in the world of chirping?
You mean from Reeves?
I thought the Reeves one was way worse. Like,
that's what I'm talking about. The Reeves comments
about Joe Thornton saying, "I got a buddy whose grandpa is losing his sight." Like, that's just stupid.
Well, to me, Gordon Miller has this line. He's like, "Leave comedy to the comedians. It's hard to do." like Reeves is trying to be funny, but it's not funny. Like, it's not anything. It's just whatever. And I think Kane said that somewhere in there. He said, "I'm sure when he's done, he'll be in the WWF or WWE, and that won't be very long anyway." That's the bottom part of the quote. And the chirping stuff, like, I thought that was for the ice. It wasn't for this. It's supposed to be witty or something. That's not. It's the other thing too is that he meant, as I'm thinking about it, he said, he's talking about his vision, and the guy's got 1,500 assists. He must have some vision.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's the thing. Like, all Joe Thornton has to do is say, "You know what? When I'm done this season, I'll sign a stick and send it over to you," because that's. I mean, Ryan Reeves, from a hockey standpoint, could not carry Joe Thornton's stick. That's really like.
If Ryan Reeves knows that.
But if Thornton wanted to be a dink, he could say, "You know what? Like, I'm sorry. I don't know who you are. I really don't." Like, he could come off with a layer of arrogance. Now, Joe Thornton deserved that suspension. It was a bad hit. The league stepped in. He got what he deserved. But, to be a hero on that, I know it's gamesmanship, but I agree with you, Ray. I don't know where now it started to spill into the media instead of between the benches.
It's been out there for a while, though. Remember Brandon Prust? Remember Prust and his comments about Paul McLean calling him a fat walrus and all that?
Like, well, even Patrick Waugh and Jeremy Roenick. Isn't that the Stanley Cup?
Right. You're right. But Roenick said something about his... I don't remember the context of it all. But that was between the two of them. Right. Like, Reeves... If Thornton hit Reeves...
Yeah.
I could understand why Reeves would be like, okay, I got a problem with this guy. Reeves wasn't on the receiving end of it.
You're right.
Like, you're not even involved in the play.
Yeah, it's him just, I guess, him standing up for a teammate, then Evander Kane standing up for a teammate, so then they end up going.
Right. But, I mean, at least through animosity.
We'll just be happy that they give us some entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. It's content, man. That's the business we're in. Who wins the fight, Ryan Reeves or Alex Ovechkin?
Whoa.
Yeah, how about that last night, eh? Wow.
That was tough to watch.
I don't know what you guys felt, but I didn't feel great watching it. Like, as they're flailing away, I'm like, oh, my God, look at this. And then,
Ray, brutal. He decided to fight. And I know the result was ugly, but he made the decision that he was going to do it.
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, you mean about for the people that are saying Ovechkin should have skated away because he's older and stronger and heavier and...
Yeah.
That's... Like, if you're in the game, you're in the game for all of it. Nobody says, you know what, I shouldn't have hit that guy because I'm way stronger than him and I'm older than him.
No.
I saw some people, again, it's the moral compass on Twitter. Well, he's just a kid. He's 19. Who cares? He's got an NHL jersey on. Well, so if he's only 19 and you want to protect him, either Carolina doesn't play him because he's too young, or the NHL, they're not going to put a yellow jersey on him and say, okay, he's young, don't hit him. And the kid asks him for a fight.
Well, he instigated the whole thing.
He was being a hero with a stick, and they were jousting, and he skates right towards Ovechkin and says, let's go. So Ovechkin knocks him out. Unfortunately, you hate to see that, but the narrative, oh, he's just a kid, what an idiot, obvious. No, how about a 19-year-old challenging a guy who knocks his head off? That's the idiot move.
Well, it's not exactly the same thing. So should players shoot less hard on Carter Hart because he's 20?
Agreed.
You're in the league, you got the big boy jersey on, and that's the way it is. He made a terrible decision, as it turns out. But the people that are saying that Ovechkin shouldn't have fought him, or when, you know, Ovi dropped his gloves first, well, if you're going to be in a fight, why would you try to drop them second? The other guy's going to punch you in the face if you're not ready. At some point, when you're, and trust me, I lost almost every fight that I was in. You know you're going to be in a fight and there's nowhere to go. Like, you're either, at that point, you might as well go.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah, there's no point standing around anymore. Ovechkin must have, you know, as they're gabbing at each other in Russian, they know that they're going to go. And he got his gloves off first, but Svechnikov's flailing away too.
Yep.
Well, exactly. I mean, Ovechkin, I think the last time he had a fight was in 2010,
I want to
say.
He's had four career fights.
Yeah,
he's not
a fighter. In a way, I have more of an issue with Ryan Reeves accepting a fight with Kane, who, Evander Kane's a big boy and can take care of himself, but he's $7 million player, 30-goal scorer.
Yeah.
Like, Reeves is a fourth-line fighter, tough guy.
Right.
Like, that's who he is. Evander Kane is not.
Right.
Svechnikov is going to be up for the Rookie of the Year, second overall pick.
Yeah.
He is closer to Ovechkin's category than Reeves is Evander Kane's category.
He's a hell of a player, Svechnikov, and I think he's going to be a great player in this league. I agree with Ray. I think he made a bad decision. He allowed his motions to get the best of him. And Ovi can't... This is the playoffs, and he challenged him. You never want to see that result. I think we all felt the same way. You don't like to see somebody injured and laying on the ice and needing help off. But all of a sudden, the narrative can't be like, well, he's just a kid.
Well, talk to Rod Brindamore then.
I know Rod's got to protect his team, and that's what he was doing.
It only took me my second fight to pick the wrong door. Showcase number 4 was the wrong one for me. I thought Sheldon Surrey was a skilled puck-moving defenseman from the Quebec League.
Well, he wasn't from the Quebec League. He was a skilled defenseman.
He's a mountain man from Vancouver who kills bears with his hands.
Which right hand told you that it was the wrong play?
He just grabbed me and he goes, I don't want to fight you. And then 2 punches, I was out for 6 weeks with a neck injury. Some guy put the fight on Twitter today, and it was not good.
I read something today on Twitter that the first Russian to fight in the NHL, fought Rod Brindamore.
Really?
There you go.
I was like,
which is who?
I'm like, whoa, that's kind of crazy, like a full circle sort of thing. The other thing I would say about the fight is, like, there's really, it's not, of course, very often, but there's the potential for that in any fight. And the guys know it, and nobody ever really thinks about it, but that, seriously, you could get tagged on the button in any fight and you end up in the position Svechnikov was.
Yeah.
So if it's so outrageous, then they need to push to have fighting eliminated. And in the meantime, this is always going to be a possibility when two guys fight.
Yep.
All right.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, I don't know how much of the Maple Leaf game you got to catch.
Almost all of it, because the Central games, they start like at midnight.
Right. I thought it was a great game. I was there, and you were in the building. Noodles, you obviously watched it. We all saw it. You know, it was a really high-paced, quality game, but it felt more like game one than game two. The Leafs, I thought the Maple Leafs, big boys, their top 6 forwards, their top 4D, and their goaltender, were a little bit better than the opposition, and they deserved to win last night. What did you make of it?
Pretty much the same. I think it's fascinating because they play the game, the two teams, a little bit differently, right? And that who's ever able to control a bigger chunk of the game with their best guys is going to probably win. And one looked like three, and two looked completely different. I thought they were, I thought the Leafs were terrific last night. The first period and watching that, I was like, man, this is, you know how some games just jump out like that's a playoff game. Like some of them have been a little scrambly and they're all more intense and more physical and faster. But the game last night to me looked like there was a potential for goal almost all the time. Like somebody was close to making a play a lot of the time. And the Leafs, I thought that's as good a game. I think they were better in game three than game one.
I agree.
Like I thought they were fantastic last night.
Well, we were doing a bit of retrospective analysis, which is always going to happen, you know, halfway through a round, and it could change tomorrow. You know, the whole tone of the series could change tomorrow. Boston rolls out and plays like they did in game two and takes over the game. And, you know, it's going to be a roller coaster. It's going to be a long series. But prior to the series, you know, the Bruins were favored. They deserved to be favored based on home ice, based on their history, the way they played. You know, and we were kind of picking away at the Maple Leaf carcass a little bit in terms of the regular season, which I think was deserved because of the way they played down the stretch. They didn't play well really into the new year, all the way to the end of the year. But you look at a couple of things that have developed here. I expected the Bergeron line to be, you know, dominant again because that's what they did last year. That's what they've done for 2 years. They haven't. They've been outplayed. Like, it hasn't even just been a saw-off. John Tavares, Zach Hyman, Mitch Marner have simply been better across the board, and specifically in game one and definitely last night. And I'm not sure we made a big enough deal of that, Ray, the idea that John Tavares is going to be able to take down Patrice Bergeron, and that's what he's done. He's really neutralized him. And, you know, we mentioned it earlier, the stat was up last night. With that win, with them holding onto a third period lead, they're now 38-0-1 when leading after two. So, you know, for a team with defensive warts, and they've had them all year and they still do, they got a lead going into the third. They're doing something right. And we didn't really bring that up a lot either leading into the series.
No, I don't. Actually, I don't even recall us talking about it. I don't even really recall anybody talking about that stat. That's an amazing number to have. I wonder if, you know, how long Bruce Cassidy goes tomorrow night with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, if they're not getting anything going, does he drop Pastrnak to Krejci's line to, you know, try and get a little bit out of him and away from the Tavares group? And, you know, like, they're Boston's at a point here, you can only wait so long before you might have to make what would be a pretty seismic change to your lineup. Like, the Tavares and Marner and Hyman have, you know, by miles have been the least best line this year. And they're, I guess we didn't even talk, you know, I guess we talked about the least center ice position as a group, not as individuals, more so. At least that's what I feel.
Right.
Is that we talked about, man, how are you going to match this depth? We didn't talk about that Tavares has played against the number one guy forever in New York. He's done it his whole career. And so why wouldn't he be doing it here, and why can't he be successful here? I'm really surprised that Boston's got nothing out of that top three. Like, just on the power play, nothing at 5-on-5. And the simple answer is, unless they get it, they're not going to win.
There was an idea.
Like, Toronto will win, right? Toronto will win if that Boston line can't find a way to get on track.
Cassidy was asked, will you break them up? How do you break that lineup? They're gonna do it sooner or later.
Well, he doubled down on Pastrnak in the second period, moved him down for a second shift. I think it was with
then he was
Nordstrom.
Right back with him.
No, I know.
He moved him around a little
he
bit.
He moved him around a little bit just to try and get him away from matchups and maybe get his confidence going. He's had a couple looks. I told you, Brian, I thought Freddie made a really good save in the first period on Pastrnak in tight where he kind of tried to sell it. He was going high, and then he rolled his wrist, and Freddie had the paddle down. I thought it was a really terrific read by Anderson, and Pastrnak looked a little frustrated on the play. Outside of that, Anderson had a couple real big timely saves, but he didn't have to factor in that much. But you look at Pastrnak's looks, they haven't been clean. They haven't been from outside of that one. They weren't from, you know, inside the home plate.
I think that's Jake Muzzin, too. Muzzin's really factored in on, on shutting him down.
He had one on the back door in game one where it was a seam play, and he hit the side of the net. But there haven't been those repeated, like, hey, this top line's got him hemmed in, and three and four looks, and you just feel like it's coming. That's a tribute to the defensive play of the Leafs. And all five guys, not just the D. I think the centerman's done a real good job on Bergeron to the point where he's making mistakes. Like that, was it Matthews' goal or was it Janssen's goal where Bergeron had it on his backhand and Krug had it too?
Matthews' goal. Yeah, Bergeron had it. He could have cleared it.
And he didn't get it up.
Got on him. Yeah.
So that's where I think you start, but you're not married to that line, even though they're an amazing line, for too long. Because if you split them up and you get Pastrnak with Krejci, then you've got to make a decision Toronto's way. Like, who are you going to play? You're going to play Tavares against Bergeron because they still got Marchand there, and then you're going to have Pastrnak with Krejci, who's had a really good season and scored the other night. And they're going to be against Matthews. Do you feel like you can get more chances by doing that? They've got to try something if they don't get a spark early, I think.
Well, that is the story out of Boston. I was reading some stuff this morning. It's all about the top line not getting points, you know, just simply not factoring in 5-on-5, which, again, was a big part of the storyline leading up because they've been so good for so long.
Yeah.
I guess it's like any team, though, isn't it? Like, if your top guys don't score, you can say you've got great depth. That's fabulous. But
right. If
your big guys don't score, like I did the Colorado game last night, Calgary's got nothing in the series from Goudreau and Monahan and Lindholm. And Nate McKinnon's running around like he's going downhill the whole time. Like, they can't stop him.
Yeah. How good is he right now?
Oh, my God. He looks so strong. It's so fast. It's like I don't know what I'm more impressed with, his skating speed or how fast he stick handles while he's going 100 miles an hour. Like, his hands are so quick. He was amazing in the first period last night. That game was over then.
Yeah, it was.
Well, sticking with that theme, though, you look at a guy who's playing tonight in Steven Stamkos, who really hasn't done anything.
He's done nothing.
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 And, you know, if you don't get anything out of him, Hedman doesn't even play because he's injured. Kucherov suspended. You know, we mentioned it yesterday. Pittsburgh's playing tonight. Crosby's got no points. You know, like, to your point, what you just said, Ray, if you don't get something out of them, you're just not going to be able to win. But Sid's got three cups. You know, Sid's won his MVPs. Stamkos hasn't.
Sid gets the old, maybe next year he'll
come
through.
Like, Stamkos, this is a legacy moment for him. Like, if they go out in the first round, he is the guy people are going to say, what was that? Where were you?
How about if you get swept?
If you get swept, even worse.
Yeah, best regular season team ever.
Doesn't it look like comparables to Washington for years?
Mm-hmm.
They were the best team. They could never win. And they never blew the team up. And they stayed with it, and eventually they, you know, they win last year. But I thought when Tampa came in late in the year, I guess it was the first week of April, I thought Stamkos skated better than I'd seen him play in a long time. Like, his skating looked good again, and he scored the shorty. Remember, he beat Anderson on the glove. And because before that, I got this thought, he's like a three-point shooter in basketball. He gets to a spot, he stands there, and he shoots. Like, he doesn't create anymore. But then I watched him live there, and I'm like, wow, that looks like the younger Stamkos, the creator. You know, he'd create with his speed and with his shot, then people would back up, and he's a good passer. And then now nothing. Like, they must just be in shock in 5 days to be from the best team in, you know, 20 years or whatever to a team that's on the ropes here.
Well, and I'll admit, I did two of their games, Ray, in a pretty tight quarters of time, and I remember coming in here to these guys and raving about it, saying, like, nobody's going to beat that team. There was nothing wrong with it. They're too deep in every area. And all of a sudden, Hedman's out, Kucherov's out, the goaltender can't make a save. The team's Braden Point's dropping the gloves. The team is rattled. Columbus is just kicking their ass everywhere, physically and on the scoreboard, and they don't have an answer. And the coach is saying, "Well, it's a five-alarm fire. Now we don't know what's like." They've got to find a way. I mean, now it's to a point where in Columbus they've got a warning to bring brooms into the. Did you see that today?
Don't bring brooms because it's a security risk.
Yeah.
Now there's a writer from Chicago, Chris Cooch, and. Yes. He had an unbelievable line today on Twitter. He said, you know, he quote tweeted the that Columbus thing, don't bring a broom. And his tweet was, but we will be firing a Civil War cannon at insane decibel levels.
It's so true.
It's a pretty good point. That's not a security risk.
No, not at all.
Half the building's
going deaf.
You're
going to walk out of there deaf. If they score seven, well, Luongo had a quote one time. He said he thought he was going to have a stress disorder because he was in goal and they scored seven times on him in there. He was freaking out.
It's a good point. Where are you tonight?
We're in St. Louis tonight, so we're about back and forth. So we got a game tonight here. So see if Winnipeg can even it up after a good game three, and then in the morning fly back to Denver for game four there.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it. Safe travels. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then. Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.